Thank you for the presence of God here. Thank you for just the privilege of being able to sit and hear the Word of God with such incredible freedom. We pray that every ear will be open to hear what the Word of God says. That we take this Word, we let it go past our minds, sink deeper into our hearts, so that it literally affects the feet of our life, that we live out this Word. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll show you a slide. This picture I took yesterday. This is a T-shirt that is on the back of my grandson, Mason. And I think his grandma, Karen Nan, bought that T-shirt for him. And I thought, you know, let's just say those are good words for us to look at. And it says, so I love the encouraging words like keep on creating, be creative. I think God would say that to us, right? Be creative. Travel often. Well, not too often, right? Come to church too, right? But I love the words after that. Give thanks. Give thanks. When's the last time you gave thanks to God, right? Dream big. And I think sometimes we as believers, we get stuck in this smallness of just everyday living. God wants us to dream big. Dream big things that we could do for Him. Work hard. Work hard. You know, God blesses the diligent, you know. Take risks. Believe God for new things, for better things in your life. Amen? And stay humble. That's really the key. God opposes the proud, but He lifts up the humble. And I love the last one, be you. Be who God, Christ, created you to be. Amen? Good words, right? Okay, let's get on to our message. Last week, the week before last, we were in Tacoma, Seattle, at this great conference called Team Church Conference. And it's a conference that they have every single year. We've always wanted to go. So we decided, we booked up last March and we went to Tacoma. And it was just a tremendous conference. It went basically the most part of the week, from about Sunday night to, we think we finished up on late Wednesday night. But there was so many different sessions and tremendous messages and these workshops. And at one of these workshops, the lead pastor there, his name is Kevin Gerald, and the church is called Champion Center. If you ever go to Tacoma, you've got to go to that church. And in one of these workshops, Pastor Kevin was talking about this theme called One Day. One Day. And how they take this theme, these words, One Day, and they talk about One Day in their small groups, in their services, in their administrative meetings. They talk about the power of one day and the importance of one day. So there's always this awareness of this theme that they're always promoting in their church. So today I want to take up that theme and I want to put it into a message for you and I. Can we do that? Okay, so I want to talk about one day. You know, there are many days in our life that stand out. There are days in all of our lives that stand out. For example, the day that the planes crashed into the Twin Towers of New York City. Do you remember that day? I remember almost the moment. I can remember the feelings that I had as I watched what was going on that day on September the 11th. I remember when I was just a young boy, just a little boy, hearing that the President of the United States was shot. And I was riding on a school bus going home. And the teacher, who was also the bus driver, said, President Kennedy was just shot. I remember that day. I remember the day I got my driver's license. Now that was a good day. I remember the day when Karen and I stood together and Karen said yes to me. And we got married. Now that was a great day. Wasn't it, sweetie? It was a great day. No, one was good, but that was even greater, right? I remember the day that our firstborn, God gave to us, and we held her in our arms. You know, these are days that stand out from the usual days of our life, right? You know, in the Bible, whenever you see these two words, one day, they're kind of like a headliner. One day. When you see these words, one day, it usually means that something special is about to happen. Perhaps something extraordinary is about to happen. Perhaps something even epic in proportion is about to happen, right? So these two words, one day, means that something significant, something special is about to happen to someone, and there is a story that's about to be told. For example, this story in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, starts off with the words, one day. Can you say that? One day. One day. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and immediately and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. First thing I want to say is this. Point number one. One day can change everything. One day can change everything. Every day, Peter and John went to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock. Every day, they laid this lame guy at the gates so that he could beg. Every day. Until one day, the unexpected, the unpredictable, no, the providential happened. And after that one day, everything changed for this guy, right? His life changed. His heart changed. His future changed. Everything changed for him. And his story changed. The story of his life suddenly changed. Everybody has a story. You know, the story of my life. I remember the very moment that my life changed forever. I was 25 years old. I was single. I was living with two other guys. And I was sitting in the dark, literally in the dark, in the living room of a home I rented with these two other guys. And I was dark inside as it was dark outside. And I was depressed. And I was hopeless. And I was in debt from student loans. And I felt like my life was going nowhere. And at that moment, in the deepest part of my depression, the phone rings. And I answer the phone. And this woman on the phone tells me the good news about Jesus. And she led me through this prayer to receive Christ in my life. And from that day on, my life and my days and my story has never been the same. Amen? You see, everybody, I believe that every person who has a personal encounter, an up close and personal encounter with Jesus, can tell you the moment, the setting, the service, or the date that their life dramatically changed. Every person has a story to tell. There are stories all over this room. You all have a story to tell, don't you? You have a story. You had a one day that changed you, change your life, change your future forever, right? Changed you. You know, and it changed things in your life. From the addictions you might have had to the mindsets that you were stuck in, things started to change. God started to change you, right? Let's admit it. You know, we were people, before Christ, we were people who were just a mess. We were messes. We were goof-ups. We were screw-ups. We were like people who had, others were just pushed to the side, to the curb. But then one day, you had your day When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, and from that day, your life has never been the same. Amen? I'm talking about the power of one day. That's the power of one day. Can I say this? The best day of your life, the best day of your life is the day that you met Jesus. It's the day that you met Jesus. I would say this, in one day, your life suddenly got better. Because all the blessings of God, suddenly became yours and available to you. Do you agree with that? In one day, your life got better. Colossians 3, verse 13 puts it this way. For he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In one day, you were a slave to sin. And then the next day, almost the next moment, you became a son of God. Amen? Do you see that? One day, we were in the kingdom of darkness, and in a moment, we were translated into the kingdom of light, of the Son he loves. In one day, that's the power of one day. In one day, you became a child of the kingdom of the Most High God. And in one day, all the promises of God, all the potentials of God opened up before you and became available to you. One day can change everything. Amen? One day can change everything. Second thing I want to say is this. There's no greater witness of God's greatness than that of a changed life. There's no greater witness to God's greatness than that of a changed life. Acts chapter 3, verse 9. This going back to the story. When all the people saw this guy walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man, who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What were they seeing? They were seeing a miracle. What were they seeing a miracle of? The miracle of a changed life. A changed life, right? Changed life is a miracle. But can I say this? In order for people to have a one day, people have to be open to God. People have to surrender to God, or nothing is going to happen. Amen? Nothing is going to happen. Now, I want us to understand that you and I, we have the power to stop or to negate God's work from happening. Do you understand that? We have the power. See, God can have an incredible plan for your life, but we have the power at any point to stop God doing what he wants to do in our lives from happening. Do you understand that? See, it all boils down. It's all based on our willingness to say yes to Jesus. And to continue to surrender to him every single day. And to be open to God's guidance and his direction in our life. And unless we keep on doing that every day, everything kind of just stops in our life. Did you notice that? It'll just stop. And things in our life that were happening and how we were growing, we just stop growing. When we just sort of get discouraged and turn away from God. And every day God wants us to surrender, to keep moving forward. Changes stop happening when we're unwilling to surrender to God and say yes to Jesus. You know, and which causes people to wonder, you know, did that one day really happen? What was the power of that one day, right? I see so many Christians have forgotten about that one day experience. And they've downgraded the power of that one day experience because of where their life is currently at. And maybe they're still struggling with the same addictions that they had. Maybe they've had that same addiction for years, or they're disappointed of where their life is at that current time. And they're sort of just kind of giving up on God. But can I say this to you? The blessings of God, the good things of God, the breakthroughs of God happen only when we persevere, when we press in, when we keep praying, when we keep asking, when we keep believing Jesus for better days and better things. Amen? When we keep on showing up to church every single week. When we keep on giving, we keep on serving, the breakthroughs happen. Blessings. Have you seen? I want to tell you, we underestimate not just the power of God, we underestimate the love of God. Right? The love of God. We underestimate how good our Father in heaven really is. Right? The Bible tells us that God is good. Right? He's gracious. He's full of mercy. He takes care of you. Even Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. Do not worry. Because you're your Father in heaven. He takes really good care of you. God takes good care of me. Amen? God takes great care of me. Right? Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:25. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Amen? See, we have to understand that He will not leave you as He found you. God will not leave you as He found you. God is not finished with you yet. Can you admit that today? God is not finished with me yet. That there is one day, but there are better days yet to come. There's more that God wants to do in you and through you. That God's not finished yet. We have to understand that. You know, somebody would say, well, my life is so messed. I'm such a mess up. But can I tell you, the mess up that you're in, God can clean up. That addiction that you've maybe struggled for years, God can break. That lifestyle that you're sucked into, God can pull you out of it. Amen? God is not finished with you yet. Amen? What you can't do, God can do. What you can't figure out, God can figure out. So no matter where you are in this life, I want to tell you, there is more, there is better, there's another day to come. One day can change everything. Amen? One day can change everything. Number three. Last point. God uses people like us to create places and atmospheres where people experience God in a way they've never experienced Him before. God uses people. God uses people just like you and us. You and me. I love this story in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, where one day, four guys brought their friend who was paralyzed on a mat, and they brought him to Jesus. Let's read that story. Mark's Gospel chapter 2. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, and so they dug a roof through a hole through the roof above his head. They then lowered the man on his mat right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, explaining, We've never seen anything like this before. Wow. Wow. Anytime you hear someone talk about their one day experience, you hear them talking about the people that they now realize that God put on their path, right? Someone entered into the world, and now in hindsight, they look back and they realize that a divine encounter with someone led to a divine encounter with God. Amen? God uses people. God uses people. You know, He uses messed up people. I've noticed that some of the most messed up people, they get saved, they receive Jesus, they're the most messed up people. And they just invite more people to church, and they invite all their friends. They bring people to church, right? And I love that. You know, you can be the most messed up people, but God can still use you, is what I'm trying to say. Amen? God uses people. You know, just a common, simple invite to a Sunday morning service like this can lead to a divine, providential moment that can lead to a one-day experience for someone who has never met Jesus before. Amen? It's the power of one simple invitation. We've got to understand that if God is going to reach people, He's going to use people. And who's He going to use? He's going to use you. He's going to use me. And we've got to be available to God to be used by God. God uses ordinary people to bring people to Jesus Christ. You know, and this is what our church is all about. Really, this is what our church is all about. You know, this last summer, I had some contact with this lady. She's one of the leaders of this church here in town. And this church has been here for quite a while, and it's really struggled over the years to the point where the pastors quit and moved on, and they couldn't find another pastor, and people started leaving that church. It started just dwindling down. And I just remember talking to her, and Karen and I talking to her, saying, you know, you need to let another church just take you over. Just get under the wings of another church so that, you know, so you don't lose everybody. Everybody doesn't scatter. And you don't lose your property, but you just, you know, let you be taken over. Just find a place, you know, that's similar to you in heart and mind and passion, and just join. Just get stronger by joining together. You know, and just recently they did that. They joined with another church. And when I heard that they joined another church, immediately this thought in my mind went, wait a minute. I suggested they do that. Why didn't they join our church? No? Why? You know, and immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, Doug, that's not you. That's not your church. You're a church for the unchurched. You're a church for the unchurched. It's great to have people come looking for a home and a family to belong to if they're in another church and God is moving. But you know what? God doesn't want us to grow by trying to get other Christians from other churches into our church. God wants us to grow by reaching the lost, the unchurched. Amen? That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Right? You know, I particularly love this story about the four men bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus Christ. Four men doing anything, you know, doing anything they can to bring their friend to church. You know, maybe that friend probably said, you know what? Don't bother. I've been this way all my life. And look at the crowds. And it's impossible to get me through. Just leave me here. But those friends, they said, no, we love you too much. We're going to do everything we possibly can. And they teamed up. They worked together. And they brought him to Christ. You know what the scripture says? It wasn't his faith, the guy's faith that healed him. It was the four men's faith. Sometimes, you know, when you don't have any faith, it's the faith of the people who love you and your family that's going to carry you and get you healed. Amen? It's going to change your life. It's the faith. That's what church is all about. I love this story of the four men bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus because it's a picture of our church. Our church. We're going to do everything we can to get people to Jesus, right? And it's also a picture of team, team, team. You know, we're a team. We work together. We're a family. We're a team, right? Every Sunday morning, people arrive here early. They arrive here early to practice, to practice worship. They arrive here early to set up the parking lot markers so people can park, organize. They arrive here early to get the kids' church ready. They arrive here early to set up the coffee. They arrive here early to greet people. You know, 40-plus people. 40-plus people every Sunday morning get here early to set up and to serve. Amen? There are teams. There are volunteers coming to do this every single Sunday morning. Right? You know, sometimes we don't always realize the magnitude of what's at stake. We don't realize the magnitude of what's at stake. We don't realize we don't weigh out in the balances in our mind the value of a soul, of just one person coming to Jesus the way that God would, right? Sometimes we don't get that. But you know, volunteers and serving on teams, sometimes the serving and volunteering can get really routine. You know, week after week, you know, it can get tiring. So the question is, why do we do that? Why? Why do we continue to do that week after week? Why? So that people can have an encounter with Jesus, a one day that will change their life forever. Amen? One person. It's not just one person. When I got saved, it wasn't just Doug getting saved. It was my brother and my sister getting saved. It was my mom and my dad getting saved. It was my friends getting saved because I got saved. There's a whole bunch of people behind every person that comes to Christ. Amen? One person is so valuable to Jesus. That's why we do it. Don't underestimate the magnitude of the value of what we do this Sunday morning. That's why we get on people's cases when they don't show up. They volunteer, they're supposed to be here, and they're not here. We say, yeah, you should have been here. Why do we do it? We do it so that people can come to Christ. This life is but a blink. This life is but a blink. What happens here is so vitally critical for us, the way we live, and for the new people that come into this place, so that they can have an encounter with Jesus Christ, so that they can have it one day. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. That's why I give an altar call for salvation every single Sunday. That's why we do that. Because we don't know who's here. We don't know who's going to listen to this message online and receive Jesus Christ. I highly value the moments that we spend on Sunday morning. The church is the gateway to heaven. It's Bethel. It's the house of God. It's the home of God Himself, of God's people. And God's life flows in His home through His people. Amen? You are highly valuable. What we do here really makes a difference. You know, I'm ending here in my message, but I want you to consider, I want you to really seriously consider how you can be that person. You can be that person that perhaps even Facebooks somebody, or that walks across the room or walks across the lawn and says to someone, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with me? You know, I realize we're busy. Sometimes our lives get, you know, messed up with all kinds of stuff. You know, some of us are so messed up. The best thing that you could possibly do is just to get your mind off yourself and to get it on to somebody else. Amen? Sometimes that's the best thing you could do. Sometimes that's the most healing thing to do. Because God uses ordinary, normal, and even messed up people to reach people for Jesus. Amen? You know, maybe you've invited somebody and they said no. Maybe they said no. I want to tell you, keep on inviting. Keep on asking them. Don't get discouraged. Keep on inviting because they're one day, maybe it isn't today, but it just may be in the future. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. I want to just pray for us. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, help us to realize what's at stake and not to put off inviting people. Just one word of invitation can change the course of a person's life. Give us the courage to make the invitation. Give us the courage to bring people to church so that they too can have their one day, their encounter with Christ, so their life will never be the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Will you say amen? Amen. Just keep your heads bowed for just a couple minutes here. I want to say, God has prepared an incredible life for those who believe in Him. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ in your heart to be Lord and Savior of your life, you can do that today. See, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, my life is so messed up. You know, I don't even know if I'm ready to do that. I want to tell you that God has the power to clean up messed up lives, right? Or maybe you're here today, you're not really sure that Jesus really is your Lord and Savior. That if you died today, you wouldn't be absolutely sure you're going to go to heaven tomorrow. Today, now, you can know that for sure. You can receive Christ into your heart. So, if you've never received Christ before, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to say this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. It'll change your life forever. This one day, this one decision will change your life for eternity. So if you're here today, I want to lead you in a very powerful prayer, but it'll be the simple prayer, but it's the most powerful prayer you will ever pray. It's the prayer for a brand new start, a brand new life. God will make you into a new person, and you will never be the same if you say this prayer. So if that's you, let's bow our heads. Just pray this prayer after me. In fact, can I ask everyone to say this prayer out loud? Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. And I believe that what you did on a cross was also for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for my sins. Today I receive you into my heart to be Savior and Lord forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to ask you right now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, could you just raise your hand and just hold it up and wave it so I know? If you said that prayer, you received Christ, invited Him into your heart, raise your hand.